Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. We had a fun show last week, and we gave a little bit of a homework assignment, you know, for people to do, like, 15 minutes of something a day they really love. And I saw Andrew this week, and he's been trying to walk and, you know, do some of his homework. Have you been doing any of yours? Did you take 15 minutes a day for you?
No, I didn't.
I knew you didn't. And it isn't even asking a lot, but it's just
no, it's
really
not.
Hard.
Honestly, I completely forgot about my homework.
Okay. Well, we want you to try this week.
But I did. One night this week, I did blow off everything that I needed to do around the house, and I blew off just about everything that I was responsible to do. And I kind of, like, looked at my wife, and I just was like, you know, do you mind if I paint for a little while? And she's like, no, go right ahead. So I moved all my stuff into the living room, and for a couple of hours, actually, I painted. So that was good.
So you did something.
I didn't do 15 minutes a day. I kind of did all my days in one day.
All right. Well, that's good. You did do something that was just that you enjoy.
Yes.
And did you feel, like, more relaxed after that the next day, or did it help it at all?
No, it definitely, I was definitely more relaxed. And what was actually kind of funny about that is that Lisa's grandmother, you know, has been really having a tough time, you know, since Lisa's grandfather passed. And one of the things that Poppy used to do was they had these garden gnomes, and they're like resin garden gnomes. And he used to like to take them and, you know, because they've had them forever, and he used to like to paint them and spruce them up. And now now that he's gone, they just have, like, you know, gone to shit. And then he was like, oh, you know, I really don't want to throw them away because they were Poppy's, but, you know, they look so terrible. And she's like, do you think you can do them? So I said, yeah. But Lisa was like, you've got 10,000 projects. Do not take those gnomes into my house. And I agreed with her that I do have too many projects, but I did say, you know what, let me do one at a time. So I took the one gnome home. So while I was doing my painting on my stuff, because I have to let paint dry, I can't just keep going over it. Otherwise, it gets sticky and it gets mucky and it's messy. So I painted a little bit on my canvas, and then I went over and I painted the little garden gnome. And then I went back over to my canvas, and then I did a little bit of the gnome. So I actually did two projects inside of the same day, because I painted because I'm working on a huge, you know, like 6 foot by like 5 foot painting, you know, on a really, really big canvas, or like 5 feet by 4 feet, maybe.
Well, that is big.
Yeah.
It's big.
So, you know, so I was working on that, and then I was like leaving that alone. And then I went over to the little guy, and by the time the little guy was done, Lisa was like, oh my God, we should have done a before and after. So on the next one, I'm going to do a before and after of my little guy.
And post it on Facebook so we can see the little gnome all queued up, you know?
Yes, I'll post it to you. I'll give it to you. But yeah,
it was nice.
Yeah, because, you know, it was Poppy's, and, you know, she didn't want to get rid of them, so I did them. So I did it for her.
I can't blame her.
So I was happy.
Aw, well, it's funny because, you know, it was done with a little bit of love, and I'm sure you must have felt her grandpa around you while you started painting that, because he probably was telling you what to do, you know.
Yeah.
Not that color. How about this color? You know, keep it this way.
Yeah, no. I basically kept his color scheme, but, you know, I like my skills were a little bit different than his, so I changed very, very few things for the man. But you know, she hasn't even seen it yet, so she'll be happy when she gets it tomorrow. So that's good.
That is like wonderful news to hear. So well, I'm glad you did your little bit of your taking some time. It's not a lot to ask, but we're trying to make that everybody takes a little time each day to do something they want to do, not necessarily that they have to do, but whether it's paint a little bit, do some yoga, go for a walk, sit and read a stupid magazine. We're not saying what it has to be. But, you know, people need a little more downtime, because it just seems like in this day and age of electronics, there is always another email to answer, always another text to answer. Always, the day, work day goes 24/7. And so sometimes we just need that, you know, that little time for ourselves. And I'm so glad you've been doing that. And so what is your painting about? Because I'm sure people are curious out there, because we didn't know you painted. And,
well,
so you can't just say
painting.
That without. Mm-hmm.
This is a painting for my foyer, and it is basically a horror painting. So I'm doing a mural of like Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers and, you know, Jason Voorhees and all of the horror characters, because my wife loves horror and I like to paint. So we are combining our efforts, and I'm doing a piece for our foyer when we come into the house of all the horror characters.
Wow. It's funny, because when Shauna was 10 years old, she wanted to see Freddy Krueger. And I was saying, no way, you are not going to see that in the movies. And, you know, my ex-husband liked to just, like, defy whatever I said. So he said, no, she's going, I'll take her. So I said, okay. So he took her. Well, he had nightmares for a week after. She was fine. It was so scary.
You want to know what's actually funny? What's actually really, really funny is that I remember when I was a kid and that movie came out, and there was a video store. I was living in Queens, and there was a video store across the street, and my mom rented it. And I wanted to watch it so bad, and my mom was just not having it. And so what I did was I was, like, listening at my door, and I can partially see a little bit of what was going on, because, like, the way that the house was set up, it's like my room was, like, off of the kitchen, and then, like, I could creep into the kitchen a little bit, and since there were French doors to go into where the living room was, where the TV and the VCR was, you know, you know, like, I could see a very, very little bit. And I'll never ever forget that when we were watching the stupid movie, or rather we weren't watching it, I was sneaking, like, little pieces of it, all of a sudden the golf clubs that were in the kitchen closet on the opposite wall fell in the closet. And all I remember hearing is my mom scream, her boyfriend at the time screamed, and I hauled ass back to my bed, and I threw my covers up, and I just stayed put. I was like, I was done after that.
Well, the scariest part about that is you said the boyfriend. That was the scariest part for me.
Why?
You had a boyfriend in those days?
No, her boyfriend, my mom's boyfriend. She had the boyfriend.
Oh, I thought you said your boyfriend, because I was going to say that was the scary part for me.
No, my mom's boyfriend at the time, you know, he had golf clubs in the kitchen closet, and and the clubs fell, and it was just a big bang, and my mom yelled, and I was like, and I didn't want her to catch me out of my bed by my doorway trying to peek in, so I ran back into my bed, and she freaked out, and then he investigated the closet, and it was a mess, but it was funny.
Wow, I have to laugh, because it's just one of those stories. You don't forget those things. Somehow you remember those.
No.
You know.
No, I was damaged after that. I was damaged.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, I'm so glad we heard from you about that story and your horror. We have to see a picture of that. Now, we have a lot of listeners.
I'm just,
we want to talk
about
what
I'm taking pictures as it progresses. So, you know, as it progresses, I'm going to be, you know, showing, you know, befores and afters, and, you know, almost like a, you know, it's like a time lapse of what, you know, a pictorial time lapse of, you know, how it progresses.
Right. Of course. Now we have a lot of callers. I know they all noticed to press one if they want to talk to us.
They do.
I want you to check out the 8166, because I think that might be Jimena. And, you know, just could you check her out first? And I'm going to pick up TJ while you check that one. Okay. Oh, no, he just hung up, so he must have gone. All right. So
he just said, no, Cindy, I'm not talking to you. That's what he just said.
Well, yeah, you know, he's in the Hamptons, so it usually means he's in that spot where you lose. You know, you're driving the Hamptons, you're lucky you get, like, a, you know, coverage for, like,
oh,
a minute.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's cutting off.
Oh, yeah.
So let's
definitely
check out that
okay,
one
yeah,
first.
So we'll go to 8166. Don't be crazy or I'll hang up and we'll see who's there. And then I'll go and I'll start screening people. And then you can do your thing.
Okay, perfect.
Hello,
hello, you're live and on the air.
On the air.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Who's speaking?
You're live and on the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi. This is Patrice from Patchwork. How are you?
Oh, I said, you know, it's funny. I thought you were Jimena, but this is Patrice. Okay, you're
oh,
almost the
yeah.
same number as her. Patrice from Patchog?
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been waiting a while. You must have something on your mind that you want to share with us or talk about with us.
Yeah, I just was wondering if you could maybe give me some guidance in a relationship for 3.5 years. We've talked about, you know, moving in together, then it gets cold feet, because I come with a lot of responsibilities,
mm-hmm.
My kids and whatnot. We get along amazingly, but I just want to make sure I'm still on the right path. I feel like
okay,
I am.
And, well, first of all, do you feel he's a soulmate? Do you have a heart connection with him?
Yes, yes.
How about a soul? Does he bring out the best in you most of the time?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
How about a mind connection? Do you like talking to him? You like
mm-hmm.
talking and things?
Yeah. We could talk or we could not talk and it's okay.
Perfect.
We don't have
how
to
entertain
each
connection?
Other.
Do
oh,
you have
yeah.
a nice body chemistry?
Yeah.
With him? Okay. So we've mm-hmm. got the soulmate going on there. So he's definitely a soulmate. And, you know, soulmates have to start coming first. I know that sounds hard for you to believe. You have children and, of course, in America, we tend to put our kids first, but it's been a pretty failed experiment doing it. Normally, you know, we didn't come first when I was growing up, and we knew it. But, you know, we
right.
tried to be the Santa Claus parents and give kids everything. And as a rule, we've raised some of the most drug-infested, drunken, lazy, entitled people in the history of the world, and they're not happy either. They're miserable. So it's kind of like, let's figure, can we start putting you and your soulmate a little bit first, not that your children will even notice, per se, but it's important that you guys maintain that relationship,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and so you give him the attention he needs and, you know, the love he needs. It looks like he's got some commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the biggest commitment phobic I've ever seen here. He's more like a closet commitment phobic.
Yeah.
He wants
he
love,
was hurt
but
in the past.
That's what I could see here. It looks like he had
and,
a really
yeah.
toxic relationship, really toxic.
Yeah, and I kind
and
of
the ending was
told
ugly.
Him he was stuck still, and how is that fair to me if he can't, you know, give me everything that I'm giving him?
Okay, is he still married?
It was a
married?
Productive conversation. No, no, he's divorced
no.
a long time.
Right, but is he stuck how in with her still?
I think that he's afraid to put himself out there. In fear of, you know, getting hurt. And he also grew up in a very violent, not, I couldn't say violent, emotionally.
This is a dysfunctional family here, I say, really big dysfunction.
Yeah, yeah, he grew up in a very dysfunctional family. His stepfather was verbally abusive, a little physical, but more emotional and verbally. And I think that that's what scares him because he doesn't want to be that man.
Right. And what I can see is that he's a very good man. He is a very
mm-hmm.
older soul born into dysfunction to end it.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a good job of it. He, you know, unfortunately, soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. And
mm-hmm.
some of those issues are surfacing because you've been with him. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. You're at the 3.5 mark. You know, you've got a year and a half now to the 5-year mark, and you definitely want to bring it to that next level of moving in with him or living
right.
with him. What happens is he tends to think of family units as being dysfunctional, like when you
yes.
live with people. So
mm-hmm.
you know, you guys are getting along so wonderfully. He doesn't want to, like, alter that. Like, you know, and there's some truth to this. When people are really nice until they sometimes get married or move in with each other,
right.
and all the dysfunction seems to come out. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's just a little scared. He has a grandfather who passed away, by the way, that I don't know if your guy ever mentions him, but
yes, he does.
You know, he's saying you got the pick of the litter with him. He's the best one, and that all he ever wanted growing up was a happy family life. And
yes.
You have the ability to give that to him, and he's just scared. Do your kids like him?
Love him.
And how old are your children?
My daughter will be 17, my son is 14 and a half, and my other son is 10.
Okay. He has children too. That's what I could see. There's a lot of kids showing up.
Yeah.
You said three, but there's more kids showing up here, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of kids, but all of the children, yours and his, need to see a better version of love than what they've seen. And so you guys showing them soulmate love, maintaining that soulmate love, is the greatest gift you can give them. And,
I agree.
You know, he's one of his children is on the difficult side. I don't know if you know which child they're referring to.
They're spoiled.
Well, he wanted to be a better parent than he had. This is what our generations have done, and we wanted to be better parents than we had. So we end up bending over backwards, especially if there's a divorce involved, and we feel guilty, we feel bad. So we overindulge them, give them everything. They push our guilt buttons, and they manipulate us. And, you know, children are so brilliant manipulators. And if they know you, you know, you really want to be a perfect parent, a great parent, they will guilt you and make you feel bad. You might want to teach him that this is not working here. In the history of the world, he's a very good father. He doesn't beat them, burn them, molest them. He loves them. He feeds them. He's a great father. He doesn't have to be anything more than a good enough father. But he's not doing them any service by spoiling them so much, because nobody's going to like them. Nobody likes spoiled kids, you know, spoiled people. So
I don't see your kids as the problem. Giving them, you know, being that you just hand everything, there's no life skill there. You know, I parent differently. My kids earn their things. You know, single mom, you know, we have to wait for things. And you know what? That's fine.
Right.
And that's how I parent.
And he needs to learn from you. I don't see your children will be the problem. I see his children will be the problem, because they want to come first.
Mm-hmm.
And they will resent if he says no to them, and they're going to blame it on you because you're in his life now. Like before you, he said yes to everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's what we would call a good to a fault person, okay? He's a person who's a people pleaser, wants everybody to like him, helps everybody, enables everybody. He's a donkey person. He does the work of eight people. You know, and,
driven,
you know, his kids are typical American kids that are unfixables during the younger years. They want to manipulate us. They want to guilt us, and they're not accountable for their behaviors.
Right.
He just has to, you know, teach him this prayer, to pray to do what's best for everyone, including himself. He never puts himself first at all, and they come first. He's more afraid of the dynamics of when he moves in, what's going to happen with him and his kids. Okay?
Okay.
Now, is he going to move in with you? Or are you going to move in a different place?
No, we would actually, he had proposed about us moving into his house, beautiful home, but it's too small for everybody. And I really put a lot of thought into everything. And when his kids moved in with their mom and her boyfriend, they were unhappy because it's not their home. And I put them first, like they're thinking. And I said, you know what, I wouldn't want my kids to move into someplace else and have those same feelings. And I certainly wouldn't want his kids to feel that we've taken over their space. So I said to him, you know, and I expressed that, and he was very open. He always listens. And I said, you know, as much as I love the house, I feel that whatever we create has to be for all of us. Like, we all have
brand
a
new
input in it.
Yeah. Brand new.
And
there's enough space, and it starts fresh and new. That's great. Because if you move into there, it's too small. And in all honesty, there's probably only a handful of people we can live with in this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We might like them if we don't live with them.
Right.
But if you're living in where there's not enough bathroom space or not enough space, it's going to end up just causing tension that it really doesn't have to have.
Yeah, and like his den is very small. It's like a den kitchen. So it's good for them, but it's not good for everybody. And I certainly wouldn't want his kids to feel that when they come there, they're, you know, stuck to their room. Because I wouldn't, you know, it's supposed to be a home, and a home, you know, not
right.
Everybody.
And I can see
room.
that you guys can make this work because you are soulmates, and if you would kind of put it in, you know, the talk with him that we have to come first, that they're the children, we're the grown-ups, we make the decisions, you know, and you have to start saying things like, well, when you grow up and you pay all the bills, you get to make the rules, okay, but right now you're living in our world, and, you know, to be a little firm with it, you know, because his kids are really master manipulators. Well, you know, his, I don't know if you've met the ex-wife, but she's a pretty manipulator.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, very.
She's the queen of unfixable. She's a narcissist.
Yeah.
She judges others. She's not accountable for her behavior. Her kids have learned some of that from her. And so, you know, he has to be just a little bit firmer. He is scared, but there's a father figure that on your side wanting to talk to you. Do you know who that would be?
My grandfather?
You?
Yep. That'd be my grandfather.
We got your grandpa and we got his grandpa. We got the two grandpas claiming to have brought you guys.
I was talking to my grandpa today.
Okay, that's why he would come through. That these men have brought you guys together because, you know, all the past generations taught a lot of dysfunction. They didn't mean to, but the marriages were dysfunctional often. They're the ones that sometimes started this dysfunction, and they would like to end it. And for their great-grandchildren, they would really like to see you guys happy. And if you two put it in your mind that this will work, get a space that everybody likes, and start putting each other first in terms of we're a relationship, we're solid, trying to get on the same parenting sort of philosophy is something that's important.
Agrees with my way of doing it. It's just now applying it.
Well, because he's a good to a fault person. They don't know how to punish anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? They just don't. Okay? They don't know how to be tough. Okay?
Right.
And it's something that, you know, you teach him, you know, you say it righteously and with righteous anger, I love you, but you've done A, B, C, D, so that's why you're grounded. You know, just facts. Stick with the facts. He's a really good man, what I could see here. And most
very
of you who
good,
listen
yes.
to the show know that's very rare when I say this is a good one, okay? Because mostly people don't call in with good guys. Come, you know, he's a good man.
Oh, no,
he's
I'm very blessed.
His ex-wife will try to sabotage some of this because
no,
that's
she has.
Her nature. That's her nature. Him and her were never soulmates, okay? She was sort of a woman to fit a plan. I wouldn't even be surprised he just got pregnant and he married her. It's that kind of level of relationship. It was never a great love, okay?
Right.
And now he is a soulmate. It's a whole different ball game. But she wants to rain on your parade, kind of make you unhappy. But if you two are just very firm that you're doing the right thing, moving in together is to show these children a good example of love, how a man and woman treat each other. Your children need to see a better version than what they saw with your ex. You know, his children need to see. And it looks like it could be a very happy arrangement if you just put each other first and don't let the kids sabotage it at all.
Yeah, well, for the most part, we don't. It's just I think he's just, you know, he's got to sell his house, and I think the whole concept is overwhelming.
Well, first of all, because then it becomes a marriage whether you're married or not. You have a home together, so pretty much, you know, marriage is a love affair and a business arrangement. You have a house with him, that's a business arrangement. But to make him feel safer and more secure about it, you know, see, that part of it will be handled like a business, like where ownership is, you know, it's half yours or half mine. You know, just like if we were to separate, you know, it's a fair division of things. I mean, he's afraid. He, you know, he took a financial bloodbath with his divorce.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's not ready to, like, lose another house. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's an expression, I'll get married again when I want to lose another house, when I want to lose a house to my enemy, you know? So just figure out the finances of it and how it would work out and where you want to live. His fears are really... you know, he's also an older soul. They like the devil. They know they don't like change. This is a lot of change at once. But, you know,
I don't
maybe
issues.
No,
at
but
all.
Definitely by the time you're together 5 years, you should be moved in. If not sooner, like 6 months, year,
okay,
depending on when you sell the house and you're ready to do all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my house is sold.
Oh, good. And
so,
what about his?
No, that
he hasn't
not
put it up yet.
No, because that's where he's, you know, that's the scary part.
Right.
So until he commits to that sale, it's, you know, we're kind of in a limbo world. But and that's all fine and good, because if, obviously, if it's not time, it's not time. But I just need to know, you know, like,
you're moving along. He loves you like crazy. You're the love of his life. I think he tells you that. And some of this is, you know, being a little bit patient with things. Maybe if you would go, where are you? Your house is sold. Where are you planning on moving if you don't move? Guys don't move in together.
Well,
what are you doing? Okay.
I rent, which I can rent. I can continue to rent this space because it's my ex-mother-in-law's house. So she doesn't live here. And
okay, good.
I was taking care of it anyway.
Right, good. Okay, so why don't you go start looking online at houses and things that you think would be good, show him some pictures, things, some ideas. You know, he doesn't look like he wants to make all the decisions by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start showing him things, it could get him very excited, you know, and
I
what
had
you can
done
afford.
That, and it would kind of, you know, worked in the way where I was like, all right, do we do that then as an investment? Or, you know, so it kind of went a little south.
Well, remember I told you, you're going to have to approach this like a business, you know, like, you know, this is our business investment, this is where we're going to live, so that he's a nice guy, and nice guys tend to be the ones, and you're a very nice person, too, so he doesn't know you're not, he knows you're not like his ex, but it gets a little scary, okay?
Right.
So he needs to, like, just see that even though you both love each other, you want to protect him, and he wants to protect you. So if we get involved in this, it's going to be as if we bought something together. We're business partners, and, you know, handle it that way, because he's just scared. He doesn't want to be the person that this doesn't work out, and now he has to move out, and you get the house, and he gets, like, nothing, you know. And the nature, you know, his nature. He doesn't know how to protect himself. So if this is written in such a way that he feels safe, he'll do it. I'm just seeing it's mostly he doesn't, you know, he's got a house. It belongs to him no matter what he has to place. Okay?
Yeah, he has that independence, too.
Right. And if he moves in with you and that doesn't work out, he's going to have to move again. Where's it going to happen?
So I
understand. Anybody who's been divorced, who's listening to the radio show, understands.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it, too.
But I'm seeing very good things. What I can see is you're supposed to move in with him. So hang in there with that one. And
he owns his own business, too. So we had at one point talked about, you know, working together, kind of both of us, you know, working in his business. So I didn't
and
know
you can see how this is starting to seem more and more like a marriage.
Yeah.
You have a business with him. He's just a little scared about all this, but it looks like you'd make a very good business partner with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything is handled professionally, business-wise, it'll be fine. The only thing that's scaring him, he doesn't want to be dependent on someone who's going to, maybe this doesn't work out, then he doesn't have a business partner. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't.
Right.
So it's reassuring him that I'm not your ex and you're not mine. And if this didn't work out, we would end it without drama and trauma. We will have it all legally put in place so that no one gets screwed.
Right.
I mean, I don't care how much people love each other. It just, at this point in my life, I would not get involved with someone unless I felt that no matter what, I would have a place to live. Do you know what I mean? It's, you want to protect that, finances, and protect everything. But it looks business-wise very good. If you work together, believe God rewards soulmates.
Okay.
So, who maintain it. So, put that out there to him. And within by the time you reach the 5-year mark, it looks like all of this will be settled. You'll be moved in with each other. You'll be working with him. And it'll all be smooth sailing. So, be just a little patient. But probably as the next 6 months to a year, everything will start moving forward.
Okay.
Well, call in and let us know what happens. How did you hear about us since you're in Patchogue?
Through a friend.
Interesting. It's nice to hear somebody local, you know. Thank you for calling in from. And call in again and let us know when things start moving forward.
Or if they don't start moving forward. Yeah, well, hopefully that's not the case.
That's why I wasn't even going to say that. Just when they move forward, call.
All right, good luck to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was very interesting, don't you think, Nicole?
Yes, very interesting. Yes, it was.
It was nice to hear someone with a nice relationship that's just, you know, that, you know, it is a little bit scary. You know, imagine, you know, he's got a house, you know, it's scary. But if I lose my house, but it doesn't, you know, work out, it's a lot.
There's always, you know what, though, but everybody always gets caught up in the what if something bad happens? Well, what if something good happens? You know, just like it can go sour, it could also be, like, friggin' amazing.
Right. And with him and her, because she's a good to a fault person, good person. He's a good, two good people together. It always goes super, you know, because that's the difference. And
as long
as
that's what you're manifesting.
Exactly. So I'm so glad she called in. It was interesting that she's right from Patchogue. I like that we're getting some local following here.
Get some local blood.
Okay, so we're going to go to Nicole, and then we're going to go down to the 7220, because I think that's Jane. You can check on that one. Okay, so Nicole, tell me about Nicole, this Nicole that you
screened. So Nicole is also calling us from Long Island. And she has a relationship question, all right, because right now, I guess her and the father of her children not doing so hot, and she is keeping her children away from their father. And what she wants to know is, she feels like it's the right thing, but she wants to know, you know, what your gut's telling her is, you know, and she wants that confirmation. Is she doing the right thing by keeping those kids away from their dad right now? So here we go to Nicole in Long Island. Hello, Nicole. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole. And that's a big question now. How old are these children?
My son is 19 months. My daughter will be 7 months in 2 days.
Okay. So they're babies. And is it that you don't trust him with the kids, that you're keeping him away?
He's just toxic. He actually denied them, said they weren't his, and he does that when he gets upset with me. So when he does that, it makes me feel like I can't trust him. I'm sorry, that's my son.
That's okay. We don't care. You're a mom. Okay. We don't care if your kid screams. Okay. It's fine.
Okay.
That doesn't bother me.
Alrighty. Okay.
All right. We don't mind, because we're so glad that you as a mom took some time for yourself. So.
Yes.
Were you married to him? Were you married to him or never married him?
Never married. We were going to, but then I just felt the urge, just to, you know, and good thing in hindsight, you know, that I didn't, because, you know, I feel like he still has some lessons to learn. It's coming to
I could see he's got a sort of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He's got a good side and he's got a bad side. This guy.
Yes, and the bad side.
He's not a total you know, like some people are just like total unfixables, but he's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But he does he does manipulate a lot.
Yes.
And he's very judgmental.
Yes.
And he's not always accountable for his behaviors. And
no, it's always somebody's fault.
Right, so he's really got more traits of an unfixable. But he's going to probably, as he gets older, go more to the side where he's, you know, really going to be unfixable. How old is he?
He's going to be 43.
Okay, he's a very, he's extremely showing up as an extremely immature man for 43.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that. Does he give them child support?
No.
Okay, then I would not. First of all, if he's not giving you child support, then. You know, why should you allow him to see them? And it looks to me like you're going to have to go to court with him to get some child support.
See, the reason why I haven't, because I felt like he'll be the type that won't even get it, because he's not working right now. He lost his job, and he won't get another job, and I won't even see it. Like, I don't even want to go through the headache of court. even if
right.
Know,
but the reason that you would have
money.
To go,
and,
you would have
and,
to go is I'll tell you why. You have to protect your children and yourself legally. In other
okay.
words, you go to court and you file it. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't even need a lawyer or whatever because you know he's got nothing. But you want these papers filed because
mm-hmm.
he can come and say he wants custody of these kids. He
mm-hmm.
can come and say, but if you say, you know, he sold you all this back money. And that, you know, if you're going to come after my kids, you're going to have to, you know, you have to pay this money you owe or I can have you thrown in jail. He's more likely to leave you alone.
Right.
If you don't, you have to, like, at least let him know that he can't just come and, you know, take these kids if he wants to. So
right.
you might want to file the papers in court
okay.
for child support. Not that he's going to give anything, but
mm-hmm.
you don't. I mean, it's not right. He's not a father. Okay? He's not giving them money. He doesn't care to support them. The
right.
reason he's like, to deny they're not his kids is because he doesn't want to have to pay anything. He can just say they're
that's,
not mine.
That's what I felt. Like, it's the easy way out. Like, okay, if I say they're not mine, then that kind of, you know, I, at least in his mind, makes him feel like, you know, he doesn't have to do anything, which is, it's sad. So you don't.
And does he want
to
come see the kids? Does he want to come see them?
See, that's the thing. He texted me the other day, and he said that he wanted to see them. And being that it's been about 3 months now since he's even called about them, or you know, because the last we spoke, that's when he denied them. I told him that if he pays for a paternity test to prove that they're his, so he doesn't say they're not whenever he gets upset. And he gives me money on a consistent and progressive basis, then he can see them. And that was the last
perfect.
I heard.
Perfect. That's
and
what's cool. Thank you, darling.
Been.
You were guided by your spirit guides because that's what's called righteous
okay.
anger. You didn't get
okay.
mad at him. You didn't
right.
threaten him. You didn't call him a cheap son of a bitch and a bastard. You just stated
right,
the fact.
Like I wanted to.
You, but no, you said paternity test and payment. And notice how you haven't heard from him. Because he now realizes that Nicole's not the same girl she used to be. That
no.
good to a fault girl with the blinders on where she thought everybody's good and give him the benefit
right.
of the doubt. And
right.
he can just disappear and screw around for 3 months, which he was doing. There was somebody else in this picture. I don't know if you know about that. But he
yeah,
was with...
I kind of figured because he can't do anything by himself. He always needs a woman
not.
There to, whether it's money or make him feel good about himself. Like I kind of figured, but that's not really, you know, my, you know, it's whatever. Like you know, but
well,
I
you
just...
would want him to have somebody else so he leaves you alone. But notice when it didn't work out because those kind of relationships on a very low level of love burn out in about 2-3 months. So that's over. So now he wants to come back and see if he's still got you. Okay, because he can't be alone. You know, he was just sick, seeing if you were still, you know, somebody he could fall back on. Everything he touches turns toxic.
Yes,
and
it does. And it was that's why I was with him. So that was my fault because I saw that good person in him. And I'm just, you know, I learned my lesson not to, you know, mess with people like that, to really, you know, take it for what it is and then just leave it alone without thinking that I can bring the good person out. And, you know, especially
thank
now
you.
That I have children, I can't afford to have them bring me down. So
no,
that's why I have
and
to
you
walk
can't.
Away.
And also, it's remember I said he was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He has a good side, he has a bad side, but he's going more to the bad side now. He's totally becoming unfixable. But what you were supposed to learn from him is that you can't fix people. Okay, pay attention to the traits that he manipulates, and he was manipulating you now to try to get back into your life. He's
right.
judgmental. He's not accountable for his behaviors. He's, you know, he's not a person you're going to fix. When you meet a man like that again, and especially they don't work, they don't make money, you don't want to be mommy to a boy with these guys, okay?
No,
like
no.
You want a hardworking man. He liked you because you're a hardworking woman, and he always knew you'd be there to take care of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you made the mistake all good people do. We think if we love people enough, we can fix them.
Yeah,
and we want to see
yeah.
the good in them, give
yeah.
them the benefit of the doubt. Don't trust your gut. Something's rotten. Well, you've learned. But we also have
yeah.
to learn to punish people. That's why we're back on Earth. And punishment
mm-hmm.
is what you're doing. If you want to
yeah.
see my kids, get a paternity test and
mm-hmm.
pay child support, okay?
Right.
And that's letting him know and that you're not going to just be there. He's going to be punished. He can't see these kids. if he's going to be the way he is. And once you mentioned give me money, he didn't want to talk to you anymore. That's
right.
Away. That's
so, you know, right now he's a toxic person. He can't be around them. But do you see maybe a miracle happen? Because I do want them to have a father.
Okay, I'm laughing at you because when we always say, yeah, these people, there's a 10% chance they can change for the better if they don't have addictions. But this guy looks like he has addictions. So I'm not sure if he's a porn addict or he's just a sex addict
all
or
that,
he's whatever.
All that.
Yeah, he's got addictions. So he's got more than one. So we got like a 2% chance that he could ever change for the better. He would have to earn a miracle. But you think while he's going through all his addictions and he's not paying his child support and he's being a general asshole, that he's going to earn a miracle? No way.
Right.
So he isn't the one who's going to change for the better. But what I do see is you will be granted a soulmate, someone who you're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. He is. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, by his behaviors. They would get a better version of love. This is a very good man. He's hardworking, a person of his word.
Oh, good. Okay.
He would be the father figure.
Yes.
You know, don't feel bad you gave your kids that father because they have to learn the lesson that not all fathers are good. Okay. And if we had learned it in a past life, we wouldn't get a lousy one in this lifetime. So they have to learn not all fathers deserve honoring, not all fathers are good. But this man who's coming along will be their true father figure. That's why I really, see what happens with him. But if you file, papers that he owes child support and this and that, he's less likely to come back and cause trouble because he has to pay back payment.
Right.
You don't want him. You got a guy in your life, and now shithead comes forward just to make your life hell.
Right.
You know, just to give you trouble. And don't underestimate him because he is the kind of person who will,
he's very vindictive.
Oh, yeah. And if he sees another man coming in the picture, that's what will make him vengeful. But if he knows he owes all this back money, he'll just run for the hills.
He'll think twice.
Okay. So, no, in this terms of this man, he's not a father. He's sort of a sperm donor. A father.
Yeah.
Wants to pay for his children. You don't need a court to tell you what to pay. You want to help support your children. You want to make sure they have food and clothes, and you want to make their life better. And he has no intention of going to work, this guy, or working hard.
He hates that.
He's really lazy. He doesn't want to do anything he doesn't want to do. I wouldn't want him driving your children. I don't trust him driving or anything like that.
No, you are spot on. Yeah, no. Like, a lot of it is my guilt, too, because I knew everything that you're saying, the type of person that he was from the second that I saw him. And like I said, that altruistic person inside of me, but he's not supposed to be like this, And now that I have, these children, it's like, see what your behavior got you.
Right, and remember that. We're back on earth because we've been what Jesus called the great enablers and the great crap takers. We take crap from everybody. We enable everybody. We make excuses for their abuse. And we have our own brand of narcissism, well-meaning as it may be, thinking that we could fix people.
Right.
If Jesus could fix people, would they have crucified him? Okay, he was trying to say, you're fixing these people. Okay, I don't know how to fix them. God doesn't know how to fix them. God doesn't give up on these people. They get wake-up calls. You coming into his life was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
You having a baby was a wake-up call. Then another baby was a wake-up call. You leaving him is a wake-up call. Okay? He doesn't wake up, and he's not going to wake up. So the point is you're just a good-to-a-fault person. That's the kind of people that I have this radio show for. That's why I wrote Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. We are too good. And we believe that these people can change. But anyone over the age of 25 who's a narcissist, judges others, not accountable for the behaviors and with addictions, forget about it. It ain't happening. They're going to be only get worse with time.
Right.
They don't get better.
Right.
So I want you to forgive yourself for getting involved with him. Yes, you knew what it was. Yes, you knew this. But we have lessons to learn. We also have to relive our parents' marriage, which isn't good news for most people.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're trying to fix daddy still. We keep picking people 10 times worse than our worst parent, trying to prove we could fix an unfixable. Get it out of your system. We're just not fixing these people.
Oh, yeah, it's out. I totally learned my lesson to trust my intuition and guide myself more.
Because our gut, I don't want you jaded. It's a fine line between being Pollyanna, where we think everybody's good, and now we're jaded, we think everybody's bad. How we don't become jaded, and I'm the least jaded person you know. Perfect strangers come to my house all the time for readings, and I've never been hurt, okay? I trust my gut. My gut tells me somebody's not good, they're not coming here.
Right.
So learn to trust your gut. But the good news is you asked him for money, just keep asking him for money, he'll stay the hell away. Okay.
Okay.
He knows you're not the same girl you used to be. He just knows it. And Nicole's wised up a little bit. You're loving yourself the way you love your children. That's the difference. You finally come to self-love.
Yeah.
But protect them. Does he use drugs or drink?
Both, yeah.
Because I don't want him ever being driving these kids. Because you can't trust him. Because,
you know,
he can hurt them. He can harm them.
Yeah.
Driving under the influence. And so, you don't want to be nasty to him because he's vengeful. You just stick with the facts.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
just
all
like
I
you
did the last time. I just the facts, and then that's it. Didn't reply. I actually blocked my phone for blocked the number for a while just so I wouldn't get any responses, so I wouldn't get the urge to, say anything else. So, but the new person.
And that's what I'm telling you. Just the facts. Honey, if you want to see the kids, you pay child support.
Right.
Okay.
And the new person, do you see them coming like maybe in a year or two? Or
yeah, it looks like in about a year. We have to give, the universe wants to give it so shithead is out of the picture a little bit. Because if he finds you have somebody else, he's just going to make your life hell. So let's just.
He is, yeah.
Let's pray that he finds somebody else and that she has to learn what you had to learn. And it'll take her a few years to learn it, that he's a crap head. This way he will stay away from you.
He'll be occupied,
He'll be occupied. Does he have children with other women, too?
Yeah, he has a son that he never, is estranged from, an older daughter, and middle children. I actually think he has kids all over the country, really, to be honest.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So if you start filing a lawsuit that he holds child support, this guy's going to get nervous.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a man who thinks he can have sex with women, not pay for the child support. I mean, this is a world that these men are getting away with murder here, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he belongs in jail. He has not paid child support. He belongs in jail.
He does.
Where he can't impregnate any
criminal.
Other women. Right, it's criminal. He can't impregnate any more women and be the vengeful son of a bitch. Nothing good's going to happen to this man. His karma is very bad. So just stay away from him, but promise
now
that you will not let them drive in a car with him.
Oh, I won't. But the thing is, his daughter, and that's the other thing too. His daughter hit me. She texted me 2 days too. She's older. She's 19. She wants to see them, and I'm kind of feeling like it's him kind of driving behind that. But I don't want to keep them from her. Their siblings. But I kind of feel that he's kind of behind that to try to, maybe as a way to get information from her about me.
Right, because then she's going to be in your life, and he'll know when you have a new man, and he'll know everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I should
keep her at a distance, too?
Keep her at a distance.
Yeah,
keep her at a distance.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's just trying to check up on you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. Call in again
thank
and let us
so
know what
much.
Happens. And we
thank
love the
you.
Sound
yes.
of your children. They sound like happy children, and you're a very good mother.
Thank you.
Call in again and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Thank you so much. I will.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, wasn't she lovely and smart, Nicole? She was
Aww.
So smart.
Yes.
She just
Absolutely.
Knew exactly what to say. Proud of her. But, really, this America has become a place where women have liberated themselves to 24 hours a day slavery, and the men don't feel like they have to go to work and support their kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like horrible. It's like, really? But I know we had Jane, and she's been going through a lot. Maybe you can fill us in a little bit if you talked with her. what she has to
say. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, and I spoke with her briefly in the chat room there, Cindy, and, you know, for our regular caller, for our regular listeners, I should say, you know, Jane is just giving us an update here. For those who don't, you know, normally listen or go back into the archives, Jane is a regular caller of Cindy's, and right now she's going through a terrible ordeal with her father, who is very, very ill, and her evil stepmother, who's constantly doing things to make things difficult and who's constantly, you know, doing things that just good people don't do. And she had some new developments, and she is still pushing forward, and she just wants to make sure that she is, in fact, on the right track still and that she didn't deviate from the last time you talked. So here we go with Jane.
Good.
Hello, Jane, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy. I can't wait for my next reading.
I know. So if you stop crying a little bit, because I know you said you've been so upset.
He's out of the hospital for now. I went to see him. I reluctantly made some peace with her for his sake. That was the right thing to do, right?
Right. Yes.
I mean, I hope. I mean, it killed me, but. So I'm looking at the email, the last one I sent you, and, you know, what she was doing to exert her control.
Right.
And she arranged for hospice at home. Freaked him out. He was so scared. He said, "I'm dying, aren't I?" I said, "No, don't worry about what the label. Don't worry about what the label is." And I think it's going to be okay because at least there'll be some help for him.
Right, and also they'll be keeping their eye on her a little bit.
I hope she has to act
a little bit better.
Okay, because he was so scared, and part of the reason he was so awful when he was in the nursing home place was because I found out they were medicating him with a psychotropic drug.
Right.
But
he was awful before them. He was awful before them.
He's been, I think the last year, though, is, you know, you've been in touch with me. He's been trying to, you know, be, you know, his way. And at this point, he's reaching out. And I went to see him this morning at his medical treatment, and he seemed like he was in good spirits compared to the way he was yesterday.
No, it looks better. It looks much more peaceful. Like, that's why I'm glad that I didn't speak to you a few days ago, because it looks like things have calmed down. Okay. I don't see him. I mean, you know, he is sick. I mean, he is dying.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Well, yeah. But that could be in 5 days, 5 months, five years.
Right.
Because he's failing. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I want to see him make his peace before that.
Right. And, no, he seems to be peaceful now. It's much better here. Things are much better here. The hospice, you know, team they have in there seems to be nice, and he's much more peaceful. He's much more peaceful.
Okay.
I mean,
he was very scared, and I just said, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but a hospice is not just when you're dying. I've known people, I found out that you can snap out of it. You know, if you get better, they take you off.
Right, but they also,
and it's at home.
They also tend to notoriously over-medicate hospice, too.
I hope not, because he's still going to his treatment. So, so he's not considered like a lost cause. And, I hope he doesn't get more unnecessary medication.
No, but I mean, he actually looks pretty calm right now. Peaceful. Now, she's not going to, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to see him because evil stepmother isn't going to let you go in there, right, to visit with him.
Oh, no, I'm allowed in now. I am, because I made a little conciliatory gesture to her yesterday.
Okay, good. Okay, good girl.
So I am
because,
allowed
you know
in the
what?
House. In fact,
you had to suck up to her, because otherwise she's vengeful. And when you're there at his house, yes, her to death a lot. Tell her, you know.
Yeah, he actually requested my presence, and I don't, you know, I mean, my brother wanted to get involved and said, if my father requests my presence and she doesn't want me in, let him talk to her. But I don't know what, you know. But anyway, yeah, I am so far allowed. I think she's going away for a couple of days and leaving him with hospice.
Good. So he'll be with hospice, and you can go visit. Much more peaceful here. what I'm seeing here. He doesn't even want her to be there. He's like wishing she'd go away. So
I know.
It's more,
yeah,
it's
I,
more
I
peaceful.
Know.
He's more peaceful when she's not around.
Yeah, he's
happy.
More peaceful in when he's getting his medical treatment because they will love him there.
Yeah, yeah. And he's doing good with that. He's burning off some of his karma for being nasty in this world by being nice to the people that help him,
mm-hmm.
which is better. You'll be able to have a nice conversation with him when she's not around. So,
I'm going to try. I've been so swamped with work. I'm going to try to visit him tomorrow. I'm not sure the situation, who's going to be there. And
you want hospice to get to know you so
that
he like you and she won't be able to, like, ice you out. You know what I mean? That you'll be there. But this is the best
part
I've seen on the whole mess in a long time.
And, okay, so whatever I'm doing for him is appropriate. I just want to know that I'm doing what.
Yeah. Yes,
so
I mean, you've actually
should be
had the patience of a saint through all this, and
okay.
I know it's been difficult for you, but don't, you're such an empath, which means you feel people's pain, and that's why you've been crying so much over him, because you've been feeling all the pain.
I think so.
So relax a little bit. I want you to get some rest. I don't see that you've been getting rest. Are you trying to rest?
No. Well, I'm going to be up all night working, and then I have that other so-called neighbor waking me up in the morning, and it's just one thing after another, but not much rest, but I'm trying, and I just can't believe how nasty she speaks to him, how nasty. She keeps complaining that he doesn't feel good, so it's all about her.
Right, and, well, she's absolutely vicious. Remember, she's going away because she's trying to replace him already. She's looking to find somebody else. Like, the day he dies, she's going to have another boyfriend already. There,
I know.
So.
Other people have said the same thing. People that
let's hope she finds somebody or has found somebody, because then she'll be away more. And that'll be good. Like, she thinks she's screwing him over with this, but meanwhile, everybody be happy she's not there.
Yeah, but he does need her to some extent, you know. And the sons don't want to help. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, I told you about them already.
You
know, there's not much money left or anything for them, so they're not going to help too much, and they don't want to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just.
I know. I was just thinking, how could they? You know,
and they
have the means to.
They were yesing him to death a lot. Do you remember that? Telling him what he wanted to hear, but no intention of doing it.
All right.
No, things are better here. I mean, really much better. So why don't you relax a little bit? You get some rest so that. I mean, he's in good hands with the hospice. They look like good people there. So
good. I hope so. I'm good. Hopefully I get to meet them tomorrow. So
and he'll like them because they'll give him a lot of attention. They'll make him feel special and cared for.
Yeah.
So
he has to know that it's he was so scared. He said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die." So,
well, we're all going to die,
I made a joke. I said, we're all going to die. You're not going so fast.
Good. That's what I would have said to him, really. And I don't think he's even so afraid to die. He's more afraid to die under the circumstances he was in. I mean, it was not.
Okay.
He didn't feel like anybody was taking care of him.
Yeah.
And now he
feels
like he's being taken care of. You know, so you relax on this and you worry about you. And, this is the best I've seen. He looks, hope. You gave him a little hope. He's starting to feel a little hopeful, which he didn't have. He was losing that sense of hope.
Am I supposed to be taking care of him in a different way or more? I mean, certain things I can't do.
No, do what you're doing. Here's the hospice to actually physically take care of him. You're just supposed to be there for him emotionally.
Yeah,
because
I can't do the
physical
stuff.
You're supposed to be there for, emotional support and to oversee things. Just to oversee that.
That I can do.
The Wicked Witch of the West doesn't torture him too much.
Oh man, there's more to her. So I just found out too, which she pulled on somebody that called him his request. Don't ask. I'm not gonna. You can get the picture.
Right.
I had so much corroboration about the nature of her that as if I need it. So okay, so I'm doing what I'm doing is appropriate and helpful. That's just basically,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely. You're doing the best.
Thanks.
Keep me posted, email me.
Okay.
And we're just about at the
end
of our show. Thank you for calling and hearing you, Jane. I'll talk to you soon. We have an appointment.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, so we had a very interesting show today. I want to thank Nicole in Long Island for calling in, Jane in Florida, and Patrice in Patchogue. That was a very nice group of people we had tonight. Very interesting.
Yes, we did.
A little bit of everything.
Yep.
And, of course, I thank Nicole, and we'll speak next week, and everybody, it looks like we're going to have a few maybe nice warm days maybe tomorrow, so let's enjoy them.
And don't forget to do your homework.
Don't forget to do
your
homework. 15 minutes of fun. Good night, everybody.
Awesome.
We'll speak next week. Bye.
Good night.